to Romans chapter 8. My heart is heavy tonight. I'll be honest with you. I've been a little light, but my heart is very heavy tonight. And driven by the circumstances and things that we've seen played out in the media. And I've refrained. I don't talk about this. And it's a couple reasons why. But I try not to, because number one, my fear is that I'm not educated in the facts of issues to speak to issues. And I see so many uneducated people, not that they're stupid or ignorant, but they're ignorant of facts, that open their mouth to speak to issues because they believe that something qualifies them to do so. So I'm not going to talk about the issues. I'm going to talk about the issue. I'm not going to talk about particular issues. I want to talk about how the church deals with issues. What are we supposed to do? But my heart has been heavy for months, seeing what's going on, seeing how it is. Actually, then think about it. The things that are happening are exactly at odds with our calling in this house and with what God has said to us and the mandate that's in our lives. It's at issue. Everything that's going on and playing out is at issue. Exact opposite issue of who we are. We are a house of reconciliation. We are a house of all nations. We are a house of all tongues. We are a house of all people. We are supposed to be a place where we come together and celebrate what we have in common and celebrate Christ, Him risen, and Him glorified in our lives so that we can affect change in the earth because we are all brothers and sisters. Okay? Is that all right? All right, thank you. If you believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't care what you look like. I don't care how big you are, how small you are. You are my brother or you're my sister. And if you don't want to accept it, that's okay. I still accept it for both of us, and I'll still live like you, my family. Okay. Thank you. About Romans chapter 8. I want to start in verse number 18. I want to read. I have three passages of scripture I want to read to you. And anticipation is to talk to you all for just a few minutes. And then I want us to allow Him to move on us, move in us in any way that He sees fit. And you can decide if I'm certifiable yet or not. Romans, for your benefit, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worth for just a moment. And let's keep this in mind. I reckon, this is Paul talking more than 2,000 years ago, said, I reckon, did you know he was a Southerner? I didn't. But what was he talking about? He ain't seen suffering. We're seeing suffering. He ain't seen no suffering. See, we forget a lot of times because we've had some sort of avenues in the United States. So we forget that people suffer and that things happen. But of glory comes and resolves it. Suffering has happened since Adam and Eve. Sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be with you. To think about it from this perspective. The suffering, the things that we're going through. And I'm talking about as folks of color and folks of oh, I don't care, whatever you want to label you want to put. I'm saying glory that God has in store for us. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a good promise to live. People gonna be stupid. I'm sorry, and I'm careful to say that, but it's God's honest truth. People are going to be stupid. It doesn't matter what we do. It doesn't matter how long we live. It doesn't matter where we live. It doesn't matter what fence we try and put around ourselves. People are going to be dumb. Amen. And they're going to come to church. You might have met some already. I don't know, but I'm just saying. It doesn't matter. We are going to encounter issues no matter what, as long as we are part of this human experience that God placed us in. We are going to encounter the ignorant. We're going to encounter the suffering. We're going to encounter issues and problems. It doesn't matter. But The way we approach it does. The way we look at it does. Well, are you one of them preachers that preaches faith? And are you one of them preachers that says, you know, just name it and claim it and grab it and grab it and grab it and all that kind of stuff? Well, maybe on some days I am, but I'm trying to be honest with you and I'm trying to tell you that people, no matter what you do, are still going to disappoint you. You can't get away from that. Your husband's going to disappoint you. Your wife is going to disappoint you. Your children are going to disappoint you. And if you're not prepared to understand that that's a part of life, then you might as well lock yourself away. You might as well hang it up and forget it, because you're going to be disappointed. Not because I want you to, not because God wants you to, but because it is part of life. We cannot escape it. It is part of what goes on. It is how we encounter it. It is how we head it off. It is how we deal with it that determines whether or not you are an overcomer. That determines whether or not you are triumphant. That determines whether or not you have what it takes. And so keeping in the back of your mind that no matter what comes, no matter what goes, because whatever does come, does go. Think about money. What comes, goes. Think about cars. Think about people. It's just the way it is. So in your life, whatever comes, it's going to go. But you always have hope. If you believe that there is a glory that God wants to reveal within us that supersedes the suffering that we're dealing with now. Verse number, oh boy. We're going to be here forever if we do this. So verse number 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature, that's you and me, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. The earnest expectation of the creature, what has been created by God, is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. What does that mean? It means that there is something in creation that's waiting for men of God to show up, manifest. The word manifest means to come about or to appear. Okay? When God manifests in your life, it means He shows up and shows out in your life. It means He comes to the surface. So if you notice this here, that when we're going through suffering, He says that the expectation of the creation or the creature is waiting for manifestation of the sons of God. So that means we've got to show up. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but hear that. That's very important. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by the reason of Him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So the very creation, the very earth itself, is dependent upon us bringing about the glory of God, or allowing Him. We're not doing it ourselves, but being willing vessels and allowing God to do through us whatever He wants to do. The very salvation of the earth, do you hear me? Is dependent upon you making a decision about who you are and what you're here for. I guess we can call this part three of God is, so I can be. That's what we've been talking about the last couple services. God is, so I can be. Verse number 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. See, I heard this a lot growing up. That all of creation is groaning and travailing because the end of the time has come and Jesus is on His way, and I don't have a problem with that. You see, I have a philosophy. I live my life in such a way that I live it in such a way that He could show up at any moment, at any time, and call me to wherever He wants to call me to. I believe in holiness. I believe that you must live a life in which you are prepared for the Lord Jesus Christ and His return. But, and we'll see if any of you will amen on this part, but I also must live my life in such a way that the generations that come behind me and the church that I am serving today is prepared to maintain and to take ground in the kingdom of God for the next 100 years, the next 200 years, the next 500 years. Do you understand what I'm saying? Our mentality must be, I am ready, God, come on anytime you want, but I am busy at work in your kingdom. Not busy with my eyes off of you, but I'm busy still with my eyes on you. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, there was a mindset that I was raised in. The mindset was, this world is going to hell, so I'm going to let it. And I'm going to wall myself off, and I'm going to be here, and I'm thankful, and I'm praising Him. Hallelujah, Jesus is coming. That means I don't have to vote anymore. That means I don't have to be aware of anything that's going on in society. That means culture is not important to me. All I do is come to church, and they say Jesus is coming, and I'm the first one on my feet. I'm shouting, I'm getting all excited. Now, I'm not making fun of you. I'm not making fun of what I was raised in. I'm not making fun of that mentality. What I am is I'm questioning the validity of that argument. Because my grandmother taught me that she would not die. Son, I'm telling you. And she'd get excited and she'd start to cry. And I'm not making fun because she was the real deal. She believed it down to her curly toes. I'm telling you, she believed it all the way through. But she said, I will not see death. I will be here when he comes and he blows the trump. And I said, I'm excited, Grandma, I'm ready. But you know what? We buried her 18 years ago. I had to say goodbye to her. But in the 60 years that she served the Lord, 60 years that she served the Lord, she did not vote. She did not encourage education. She did not encourage, in fact, she said, well, if you got to go to college, okay, but you know the Lord will probably come before you get done. And again, I want to live my life in such a way that should he choose, because no man knows the hour, the time, nor the day, should he choose, I'm ready. I'm not advocating go out and sin and live your life against God. That's not what I'm saying. Live your life in holiness before God. But also prepare the next generation. So the generation that she was raised in, the generation that told her, stay away from voting, stay away from the polls, stay away from social issues, stay away from anything that has any substance with the world, because we have to be separate from them. Them bury themselves. That mentality actually buried a generation. Because in 1973, Roe versus Wade was passed. Not just that, but then prayer is taken out of schools. And then you see this happening and that happening to the point now where they're telling children, if you're 3 and 4, well, do you like boys or girls? This is not a soapbox I'm getting on. I'm trying to tell you that because the church has decided to be disengaged from the world, we have actually allowed generations to be raised without the knowledge and understanding that there is a God that loves them and cares about them. Instead, now, when we open our mouths, they see a people who do not care about them, but rather want to condemn them to hell and send them on their way and burn them, if we can, in effigy as they're going. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because we have not done a proper job. Instead of the people who have the love of God in their hearts standing up and saying, we love you no matter what, but let us show you a better way, we allow the ignorant, the stupid, the loud, the boisterous people who have really hate in their heart stand up and declare, you're going to hell. Instead of, there's a Savior that loves you. I'm getting ahead, but hear me. This is what's on my heart tonight. For We know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which are the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. So even we ourselves are twisted and frustrated and irritated because we are a part of a kingdom that is, but not yet. You see, I'm still human. I've been saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. I believe that I'm on my way to heaven. That's my testimony. But I'm still part of the human race. And so for that reason, I'm still at odds with myself. I'm still frustrated. Paul says here, I'm still one who groans. I'm still one who travails. Well, preacher, you told me when you shook my hand and when you called me forward and you laid hands on me and I fell on the floor that everything was going to be okay. Well, if they did that, I'm sorry. I've never said that. Because I know better. Because part of who we are is still this frustration and this fight against the nature that we don't want, that we don't desire, but it still comes up and rears its ugly head and reminds us, you are saved, but not yet. You've been sealed until the day of redemption, but your salvation, your adoption has not been completed. It's not finalized. You're still part of the earth. But they said, I wasn't part of the world. No, that's not what he said. He said, you're in the world, but not of the world. But you're still in it. So he says, Paul says, that even we who are the first fruits of the Spirit, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we groan, even we travail, waiting on the finalization of the adoption, waiting on the redemption of our body. For we are all saved by, thank you, hope. We're all saved by hope. That's the most important thing I want to talk to you about tonight, is hope. We are all saved by hope. He says, a hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? So, If we are people of hope, if we are a Christian that is filled with hope, it means we have not yet arrived. It means that we have not yet received the fulfillment. It means that we have not yet been made full in our manifestation. It means that there's something still to come. Well, my God, preacher, how many years do I have to live like that? A few. Again, it's James, if you go through his book, talks about these things that we deal with, these things that we war with, these things that prick us, these things that irritate us, these things that come to fight us, the things that come to put us at odds even with ourselves at times, are the things that God uses and allows in our lives to create our character, to create His glory. Because people look at you and they see who you used to be. They see what you used to be. They see what you used to do, how you used to talk. And they see a transformation and they say, wow, there's really something to it. You mean you still love me? Oh, my Lord, do you hear me tonight? Hope. Hope is something that's not yet seen. Hope is something that we are waiting for. And he says in verse 25, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Ooh. Why did you have to mention that word? Trust me, I don't like it either. Likewise, quickly, I just want to read the last two verses, 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth with our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, they're not talking necessarily about the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is a masculine person. We would call him himself, the Spirit himself. So what they're talking about is that the Spirit that's inside you, not the Holy Spirit who lives inside you, but your spirit, because you're body, soul, and spirit, that your spirit does not even know how to pray. So your spirit makes intercession for you. So can I tell you that when you look at me and you say, well, Pastor, I don't know how to pray. Yeah. Yeah. That's the best you got. Yeah. You need to trust that the Spirit that God has deposited in you, not even just His Holy Spirit, but the Spirit of yours that has been regenerated, the Spirit that has been sealed for the day of redemption, the Spirit that He has renewed within you, all things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. He knows what to say when you don't. Well, preacher, I want somebody to help me. He's there. No, I want somebody that looks like me or acts like me. No, you don't want somebody that looks like you and acts like you to help you. Why do you think you got in this mess? How do you think you ended up where you are? You had people that looked like you and thought like you, being with you, helping you. Woo! I feel sometimes that I overquote it and that I overuse it, but I can't help it. His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. I can never get away from that. So, of course, I want the Spirit of God through me to begin to intercede on my behalf because He understands what I need even when I don't. And verse number 27 says, and He that searcheth the hearts, that's God, and He that searches the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Okay, so can you sum this up for me? Then I don't know what I need. I don't know how to pray. I don't know what's wrong. I don't know. Okay, that's good. Then you got a place to start. Open up your spirit and begin to let God hear you. Cry out to Him. You see, Grandma didn't have everything wrong. Hear me. She didn't have many things wrong. She had many, many things right. And one of the things that she had right was, son, when you're in a place like that, call on God. Don't run to the bar. Don't run to the woman. Don't run to this. Don't run to that. Run to God, and He's there for you. Cry out to Him, and He will hear you. Oh, my Lord. Ooh. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. So tonight, I want to tell you there is hope. God is so I can be. There's hope. God is so I can be. There's hope. Ephesians chapter 5. Almost finished. I promise. Almost finished. I will not go as long as I did last week. Ephesians chapter 5. I want to start with verse number 8. I just want to read a few of these verses to you. 8 through 21. Ephesians 5, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For we were in darkness, now we're in light. He says, now walk like you're a child of the light. I guess that means we got to change some habits and change some thoughts and change some ideas. No, really, you don't understand until you really break down your life. You do not understand how much you have been preconditioned to darkness. And I'm not just talking about the darkness of no light. What I'm talking about is the way that you lived and the way that you did things and the way that your mama did things and the way that your daddy did things and the way that you hear me? Yeah. Pastor been talking about spiritual breaking the curses in your generations. Those things are what God is talking about. They're, you're still walking as though you're in darkness. You're still taking those same steps. How many of you have ever done the same old, same old? You put your mind on autopilot and you're going in one direction and you end up, because this is the way you always go, you end up over here and you're like, oh man. You ever done that? You know, because I would go to Winston every day, back and forth for work. And so I would find myself just automatically, my car gets on Edgewood Drive, turn left on 115, get right there, go right onto 421. And I'm already on autopilot. I'm not even thinking about anything going on. And so why do you think that it's different in your own life? So you just get caught up in the cares of life. You're taking care of the kids. You're taking care of this. You're taking care of a bill. You're taking care of that. And so suddenly you see yourself and you wake up, oh man, how did I get up doing this stupid thing again? Or you say, I'm going to bless my finances. I'm going to say positive things. I'm going to change my confession about who I am, about my spouse, about whatever. And suddenly something negative comes out, or you say the wrong thing and you're like, well, that's not sanctified. That's not holy. That's what he's talking about here. We're children of light, so we need to walk in the light. But understand that darkness still tries to creep in. Verse number 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. If it's not goodness, righteousness, and truth, then it's not fruit of the Spirit. It's fruit of something else. Verse number 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So these things are the only things that are acceptable to God. Verse number 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove. Now, fellowship means spending some time and hanging out. Because yeah. You know, you got some skeletons in your closet that are your old friends that you enjoy spending a little bit of time with. Brother Harold's the only one. Thank you, brother. He says he's my twin. That's right. He's my twin. That's right. For it is a shame to even speak of these things which are done of them in secret. But all things, verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So the only way that we're going to manifest, come about, is to walk in the light. Well, I don't understand why the Lord isn't coming in this situation. Are you walking in the light? I don't understand why God isn't turning some things around. I don't understand why this is going. Are you walking in the light? The only way that the glory of God manifests in our lives is when we walk in the light. Do you understand what I'm saying? Verse number 14. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou, hear this, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. There is another verse that says, wake, it's another translation that says, wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. I wanted to read that part in particular because this is what I saw in the Spirit. Think about this for just a moment. Is there anybody that is strong enough and willing to lay on the floor for me for just a moment? Anybody? Anybody? Brother Eric, would you have a hard time getting back up off the floor? Yeah, I'll help you. Would you mind? Just lie right here. Just lay down. Just lay down. Okay, that's perfect. Okay, so, and you can lay any way you want. So I would like you to, let's observe. Let's take notes. Okay, this is Brother Eric Kilby. He's 40, and he's married to Regina. So let's all have some joy and love for him, okay? Yeah, she's going to beat me later. So this is what I heard the Spirit of the Lord saying, wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead. So if he is talking about us being children of the light, and he's talking here about what it is to walk in the light, did you notice that there's something that he can't do? He can't walk in this particular position. It's not possible. Why? Because the soles of his feet are not on the ground. So the Holy Spirit here says, wake up, O sleeper. and rise from the dead. And here is what we've got. Can you hear me for just a moment? And then hang on just one second. He's like, can I get up now? Just give me one more second. Okay. He might go to sleep. That'd be good. That's okay. We'll let him. It's the peace of the Lord. Okay. That's our story and we're sticking to it. So think about it for just a minute. If we are separating ourselves and we are pulling ourselves back and we are not wanting to engage in what's going on socially, we're not wanting to engage in what's going on in our family, we're not wanting to engage in what's going on with our husband or wife, with our children, hear me, I understand. But what the Lord is saying, even in these days, even in these times, men and women of God have to walk in the light. And in order to walk in the light, we have to be alive. We have to be up. We have to be about. We have to be moving in that direction. You understand what I'm saying? And for generations now, the church that is Spirit-filled, we have the move of the Spirit in our church, and He comes and He moves on us and He blesses us, and oh, that was a wonderful service. But the power that we talked about, that we've been talking about for weeks, and the move of God, the manifestation of the sons of God that the earth is groaning for, does not have the ability to continue to bring about the manifestation of His glory because we laying down on the job. Do you hear me? You see, what we believe is, I'm just going to be quiet and I won't talk about it. We believe that that is keeping us politically correct. We believe that that is allowing ourselves to remain neutral. But in reality, it is a conscious decision that we are making to lie down and not be involved in what's going on. Now, I'm not talking about getting involved politically. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is that understanding that when we have chosen to lay down, and we have chosen to go to sleep on the issues and the things that are going on in your own home, the things that are going on in your other family, the things that are going on in your school, the things that have gone on in this church. When we turn a blind eye and we pretend like it'll be okay and everything's all right and don't tell anybody what's going on. When we do that, we are actually lying down as dead. And Jesus said here through the Apostle Paul, He says, wake up! Wake up, O sleeper! But don't just wake up, rise up from the dead. I want to point something out to you. Do you understand? We have had sermon after sermon and service after service of celebration and dancing because the devil is under my feet. Woo! That's where he is. Hallelujah. The devil's under my feet. Well, praise him. Look, there is nothing under your feet because you're not even standing up. It's not possible. Thank you. It's not possible because we have given up our ground. We have given up who we are. We have allowed the enemy to lie to us and say, lay down. It'll be okay, baby. It'll be all right. You'll be able to pick right back up where you left off. It's not a problem. But we can't even be victorious because the Bible says that He shall be placed under my foot. He will be placed under my, say it. But He can't be placed under my feet because my feet aren't even on the ground. Because I'm not in the game. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? Do you hear me? Well, praise Him. I'm victorious. No, you're not. You're laying down. Oh my God. He said, rise up. Rise up. And then as He says that, He says, after you get up, Christ will shine on you. Christ will give the light. Matthew chapter 5, and then I'm going to be finished. Matthew chapter 5. Christ will shine on you. He says, we are children of light. Wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead. You got to rise from the dead to place your problems and your situations where they belong. And where do your problems and your situations belong? Under your feet. Matthew chapter 5. Salt and light. So how, let me ask you this. Before we read this, how can we as a church, not just Cornerstone, I'm talking about worldwide, how can we as a church be triumphant in society if we are not on our feet? If we are not alive, if we are not awake, if we are pretending like the issues don't exist and pretending like it's going to go away. I'm sorry. I woke up with this complexion this morning. And unless I'm out in the sun for too many hours, I will go to bed with this complexion. The problem has not resolved. Salt and light. Verse number 13, chapter 5 of Matthew. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? This is not something that I like to read. Because this verse makes you take inventory. This verse makes you take inventory. You're the salt of the earth. But if salt hath lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden where?
Underfoot.
Of men. You see a connection? Jesus said, listen, you have a decision to make. I believe God is saying to Cornerstone Church, this is the pivotal time. You have a decision to make. Pastor will tell you the same thing. You have a decision to make. Are you going to lie there and pretend like everything's fine and allow the world to go by? Or are you going to be the salt and the light that we are intended to be? Because if not, he's going to raise up somebody to do it. That's what he says. Because if you've lost your saltiness, you're not good for anything for the purpose that you were created. So I've got to get you out of the way because I've got to have somebody else. Do you hear me? And not only does he say, I've got to get you out of the way, but he says, you're actually going to be under somebody else's foot. The worst part is, some of us feel like we are under somebody else's foot because we have allowed those things to rule our lives. We've allowed our emotions, our passions. We've allowed our sins and our vices to allow us to rule us to the point that we feel like we can't get up because somebody is on us. It's like a 3-ton elephant that's on our chest and we can't get up. But this is what he says in verse 16. In verse 14, he goes on to say, you are the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. Now, again, He in the verse before there just said that if you lose your savor, if you're not salty anymore, then you're not good for anything but to be thrown out and to have other people walk on you. And then he says, but see, that's the way Jesus is. That's the way he is. He says, but you, ye, You are the light of the world. Ooh. He says, I know that you're going to figure it out. He says, I know that you're going to finally reach your end. I know that you're going to finally reach that point where you say, listen, I'm done. I thought I could handle it. I thought I was able. I thought I was mature enough. I thought I had enough understanding. I thought that I had learned enough. I thought I had lived long enough. But finally, you reach that point where you say, listen, I finally realize and I declare and I say even out of my own mouth, and that breaks my will because I'm a prideful person, I need you. Verse 14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. They don't put it under a bushel. Instead, they put it on a candlestick on display. Jesus says, I don't hide you. I don't want you to be hidden. I don't want you to be lying down dead. I don't want you to be in the background. He said, I want you to be on the hill that cannot be hid. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This is how I'm ending today. So this is my question to you. How do we handle the issues we see in our society today? How do we handle the issues that we see in our society today? I'm telling you, they go farther and deeper than the pigment of skin. They go farther and deeper than the hurt and the pain. They go farther and deeper. They go even into the sinful nature of man itself. How do we handle the issues that we see in our society today? How? How are we to address them? What is the church's responsibility? How are we supposed to address them? Or do we pretend like it didn't happen? What should we do? What is our role? What is our responsibility? And that is one of the key points and questions that I believe the Holy Spirit spoke to me. What is our responsibility? See, if we don't look at it from that standpoint, if we don't look at it from the standpoint that we have a responsibility to our brothers and sisters, we have a responsibility to mankind, we have a responsibility to each other, if we don't look at it from that standpoint, then it's easy for us to say, well, it didn't bother me. That's Baltimore. No. That's Ferguson. No. That's over down yonder. That's another county. That's another state. It's in another country. What's our responsibility? What's our responsibility? Here, this is what I heard. There are a few choices. Number one, forget about it and pray that Jesus comes quickly. And I'm not laughing. I'm being sincere. Because there are churches. In fact, I have a friend that I went to Bible college with. That's all his posts the last week. Oh, this is the end time. Oh, Jesus, come quickly. And I don't have a problem with it because I know he really means it. He's intending it. But is that really the part that we want to take? Is that really the stand that God has called us to? Will that, when we stand on that, will that allow the enemy to be under my feet? Because it's not really much of a stand. It's laying down. Because I don't have anything under my feet. The second thing is, well, we can condemn the world and tell them that they're all in it. They're all going to hell. Oh, please. You tell me the church hasn't done both of those? We're not part of this. They're all going to hell. And we get up on TV and we look big and bad and we say, God is visiting His wrath upon this earth because of the sins of man. I'm not trying to make fun of them. I'm just trying to show you how ridiculous that is. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would call upon. You understand what I'm saying? Huh. We can't. We can't live our lives with that mentality. Because He loved. And guess what? He made you in His image. And we talked about that last Wednesday night and Sunday. God is love. Not only does He love, but He is the personification, the deification of love. God is love. So that means I must have a capacity to love. So the third choice that I could come up with, because I didn't like one and two. I'll just be honest with you. The third choice I came up with. You go ahead. The third choice I came up with was this: proclaim the good news. It sounds a little bit easier than maybe it is, and it sounds a little bit tamer than really it is. It sounds nice and neat, doesn't it? Proclaim the good news. Hallelujah. Tell them about the good news. Go ahead. Tell them good news. It's a little more involved than that. Proclaiming the good news, where do we get the term good news from? It's a Greek derivation of gospel, where we are telling the story of Jesus, that He came to give us life and that we might have life more abundantly. Now, can I ask you in that, hear me, I know that there's more to it than that, but that is really it in a nutshell, that Jesus came to die for your in your place. Jesus came to die in your place. Most of the time, people, you know, you have the Romans Road, and I love the Romans Road. It's easy to lead somebody to Christ through the Romans Road. But you don't have to go very far in one and two to show them that they have need of a Savior. Come on. Holy Spirit's already been at work. If you are in contact with this person and God has led you to proclaim the good news to them, then they already have a work inside them that tells them that they have need of a Savior. They're pretty convinced that they can't do this thing on their own. They're pretty convinced already. If they've come to you or God is leading you to them, they're God's already at work at it. Still, we mention it, but that's not the part that we belabor. That they are sinners in need of a Savior, that they're on their way to hell. That's not the part that they need to hear. The part that they need to hear is that there's someone that loves them so much that they gave up their life in place of them. Oh my Lord. Can you imagine what life would be like in Baltimore tonight if men and women of God had not laid as dead before the throne room of God and instead had stood up and put the enemy under the feet and began to declare 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago that there is a Savior and that He loves them and that He desires to have a relationship with them? Can you imagine what the world would be like if we even opened our mouth and our voices that God has given us here in Wilkes County and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world," instead of looking them in the face and saying, "My God, you're ugly and disgusting. I can't handle your piercings and tattoos. I can't handle the fact that you want to kiss somebody of your same sex." That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a men and women of God who are standing up and saying, "There is one that loves you just the way you are. Just where you are." It doesn't mean they're going to stay there. It means that God can arrest them. Woo! My God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Can you hear that tonight? There is one that loves deeper and richer and fuller than you. And when you see that one on the street, treat them like you want your baby treated. No, better yet, treat them better than you want your baby treated. Treat them like you want to be treated. Oh, my Lord, do you hear me? Ending with Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Jesus standing among the people. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. The Spirit of the Lord comes in this place and moves through us and changes us, not so that we can be better superhumans, but so that we can preach the gospel to the poor, so that we have the power to heal the brokenhearted, so that we can preach deliverance to the captives and recovering sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. How many of you know somebody that's bruised? How many of you know somebody? How many of you know somebody that needs to hear the good news? They don't need somebody else judging them. They don't need somebody else to give an oration about what they look like and why did you put that in your ear and why do you have that in your nose? And because sometimes they're just looking for a fight because they don't believe anybody loves them. You don't understand. You don't. I mean, come on. Hear me. He anointed us to preach the good news. The good news is that you don't have to stay laying there dead, but you have the ability and the right to make a stand, put the enemy under your feet, and to declare that He is God. Here, I want to just end with this song because this is what I feel the Spirit of the Lord saying to us and doing in us. That's it.
I am crying out for more.
This is it. This is what it's about.
Come and fill me with your fire.
This is who we are.
Set me a place.
This is Cornerstone. For my generation.
For my generation, Lord. I am.
God, we speak to the generations across this county, across this area, this region, this state. And Father, we declare that we will not remain down. But God, we understand that we cannot overcome the enemy even in our own lives. Stay with us. And God, we are tired of it. We don't want that anymore. Instead, God, allow us to be your instrument. Allow us to be your vocal cords. Allow us to be your voice in this area, in this city, in this region, in our neighborhood. In our neighborhood, on our street. Allow us to be your voice. Whoo. And Father, we declare that every generation, from the oldest to the youngest, will hear the gospel in this region. Not just from our church, but we declare that you are rising up men and women of God all across this area. Some that we have never met, some we may never meet, but they are our brothers and sisters. And we pray, God, that you give them the courage to do the same thing that we're going to do. We pray, God, that you give them the encouragement and the strength to open their mouth and declare that you are God and that you are love and that you have a desire to meet the needs of this community, that you have the desire to meet the needs of this area, that you have the desire to meet the needs of every social class, of every culture, of every race, of every color, of every creed, of every language. And God, even more so, give us the ability, the know-how, and the desire to meet them where they are. Help us, God, to become strategic as your men and women, to be able to speak the right language, to speak in the right places, to know when to be quiet and when to open our mouths. Help us, God, to be strategic. Help us, God, to be, I hear that word in the Spirit. Here, help us, God, to be strategic so that we redeem the time. So that we cause the time to be multiplied. So that we are not spinning our wheels for another 10 years. So that we are not wasting another generation. So that we are not allowing our children to go without. Ooh. thank you, God. We thank you, God. I am crying out for more.
Come and fill me with your fire.
Fill us with your fire.
Set me ablaze.
Fill us with your fire.
Set
us on blaze, God,
for my
for my generation and for every other generation. Use us, Lord. Use me. Let me be who you called me to be. Woo!
Set me away. Set me
away. I feel the Spirit of God moving in this place. I sense His presence. I'm so grateful. Father, just equip us, encourage us, strengthen us. Let us not leave like we came, but let us leave with the desire to reach the others that need you. Ooh. Give us plans. Birth ideas within us. Let us not be barren any longer, but let us produce fruit that we cannot even contain, that spills over into every area of this community. Ooh. We are not about building a church. We are about winning people for you. We are about hearing that somebody needs, and we want to meet that need. We are need meters. Ooh. Does anybody have a need tonight? Anybody have anything that you need prayer with tonight before we finish? Anybody have something on your heart that you want somebody to agree with you about? Because there are a lot of folks in here with some strength and encouragement and power that can agree with you. I can agree with. Come on, elders, let's get up here. Let's start agreeing. I'm telling you, pastor needs to make the decision. But there are some moments in our services that we need to begin to move. We need to begin to move. We need to begin to move out and step out and begin to touch the lives of some people. So. Something's going on with you even right now. I feel